January 13th meeting of the Development Review Board. My name is Jolene Wolfley. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We are conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a health emergency. We appreciate your patience as this may be the first DRB meeting on Zoom for some. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderators, which are Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would now like the DRB members to introduce themselves, starting with Water Authority.
Christiana, Water Authority.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement.
My name is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation Department.
Renee Brissett with Hydrology.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. Once again, just double check your mute and make sure you're on mute if you're not currently involved in the case we're reviewing. And right now it's just opening comments. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the Development Review Board through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Presidential Water Authority, I make a motion to suspend the rules as stated.
Okay, we've got some background noise. I'm going to just check real quick. You always say that and then you realize maybe it's here at my place. Let's see. Okay. Just please check your background noise wherever you're coming from. All right, so we've had a motion and a second to suspend the rules. Let's vote, please.
Christiana, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this Zoom meeting and electronic signatures following the meeting. A note for our applicants. I first want to say that we have met as staff this week and talked a little bit about our process, our meetings. We want to streamline things for everyone. And we have been getting a lot of submittals that have been coming in outside of the PLNDRS at CABQ.gov intake portal for your submittals. And this is sometimes causes confusion. It causes all the submittals not to necessarily be compiled as they should be in our records. And it also, sometimes they're coming in after Friday at noon. And this creates a lot of confusion for DRB members who have a lot of obligations. Some of them also obligations to other committees and jurisdictions that they're responsible to. So I just want to inform you that we really want you to follow and adhere to the deadline of Friday noon for all your resubmittals. And those need to go into the planners at CABQ if the files are too large. Mr. Rodenbeck has given you information in your comments today about submitting those through WeTransfer. So if you could really help us with that. If there's some minor note on a plat, as an example, or maybe one small change to an infrastructure list, what we'd like you to do is just bring that up in the meeting, and I will work with you, and we'll see if it's minor enough that we can handle it during the meeting. But this will keep our DRB members from being confused by a plethora of emails and some getting them and some not. And we think this will just work better for many reasons. And DRB does meet every week. So if you miss one week. We'll be here the next week to help you with your case. The DRB members who approve your site plan platter infrastructure list today will electronically sign those documents following the meeting. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck will be routing those documents through the DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all their utility signatures. And once again, I just want to give a reminder, during the pandemic, we've been a little looser on utility signatures. That's a little bit of a problem, but we absolutely can accept your applications and hear them until you have, at the bare minimum, the city surveyor and your owner's signatures on the documents. And we really prefer that you have your utility signatures so that your owners are aware of all the requirements and easements that make those utility companies might require. If you need to get some additional utility signatures following your approval, we're still going to be kind of lenient with that, but we need you to do all of that before you ever submit your final documents through Jay to get DRB member signatures. We are the last to sign. And if you can follow my my advice this morning, it will be the quickest path to get your signatures complete and your approval all documented. And if you're approved with delegation, you need to make sure that you have those delegation items complete before you submit your final documents for signature. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes in the agenda?
Yes, for item number 4, PR 2020-003887, application SI 2020-00367 for site plan. The agent has requested a deferral to January 27th.
Okay, and let's go ahead and do 5 with that since it's the same project.
Absolutely. For item number 5, PR 2020-003887, application SD 2021-00008 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to January 27th.
I thought that one was for the 20th. Correct. Ms. Gould.
This is Maggie Gould, Madam Chair. Yes, I think we would like to hear the plat and the vacation on the 20th so that we have time to deal with any issues prior to the 27th.
Right. Since the plat is a brand new application. So just to clarify for DRB members, this is the same project number, but we are deferring item 4, which is a site plan, to January 27th. And we are deferring item 5, which is the preliminary final plat, to January 20th. Okay, is there a motion to do that?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I make a motion to defer item number 4 to January 27th. And would you like me to make the motion also for number 5 at the same time?
Please.
And item number 5 to January 20th.
Thank you.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I second.
Thank you. Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB, Chair approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 4. PR 2020-3887, site plan SI 2020-367, to the January 27th meeting of the DRB, and item 5, which is that same PR number, but SD 2021-08, preliminary final plat, to the January 20th meeting of the DRB. Ms. Gomez.
Item number 6, PR 2019-002663, application SD 2020-00193 for preliminary and final plat, and application VA 2020-00377, waiver to IDO. The agent has requested a deferral to June 9th.
I'm sorry, I have June 19th. I might be wrong because there is a meeting on June 19th.
Madam Chair, this is Jay Rodenbach. Yes. There is no meeting on the 19th.
That'd can be a you Saturday. Check what the...
Madam Chair,
I'm trying to check what the applicant requested. Ms. Gould, you know, can you look at the email from the applicant or whoever
this is
had
Maggie Gould, yes. I will do that, but I'm fairly sure that it is the 9th.
Okay, let's skip that one for now. Ms. Gomez?
And for item number 8, PR 2019-002976, application SD 2020-00210, preliminary and final plat. And application VA 2020-00447 for sidewalk waiver. The agent has requested a deferral to January 27th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 8 to January 27th?
Ms. Cadena, Water Authority, make a motion to defer item number 8 to January 27th.
I need a second.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Nay Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 8, PR 2019-2976, SD 2020-210, preliminary final plat, VA 2020-447, sidewalk waiver to January 27. Let's Chair, go back now to item 6.
Madam Chair, this is Jay Rodenbeck. I can confirm that the applicant requested June the 9th.
That's okay. All right. Yeah. I apologize for that confusion. So item 6, is there a motion to defer item number 6 to June 9th, 2021?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, and make a motion to defer item number 6 to June 6, June 9th.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second.
Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 6, PR 2019-2663, SD 2020-193, preliminary final plat, and VA 2020-377, waiver to IDO, to June 9th, 2021. All right. Did I miss anything, Ms. Gomez?
I think that's all I have this morning.
Okay, no. Please, let's see. I'm going to help you out there. All right. Just remember to mute yourself while you're waiting to for the case that you're interested in. Okay. Now that we have the agenda set for today, we will ask any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that now. You will sign up now, but your opportunity to speak will be when the case is called. Similar to how we did an in-person meeting. If you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature. If you're on video, you can literally raise your hand. If you're on audio, please press star 9. And you can also speak up if we're not finding you. So we're gonna go ahead and go through the Zoom room and catch those people now that would like to speak on a particular agenda item. And this is for members of the public. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone at this point. So I will check on each case just to make sure public members do have that opportunity. If there are any technical issues, I will end the meeting and DRB will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same Zoom link and phone number. That hasn't happened previously, but just there could be some kind of disruption. So just know if there is, the meeting goes down, we won't resume it until 1 p.m. As I begin, I will, or as we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant need to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB members apply the technical standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I'd like to introduce staff and swear them in. Ms. Maggie Gould is Development Services Manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is the DRB planner. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck, I do.
Mr. Shahab Biazar is the city engineer. Mr. Biazar, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar, I do.
And Ms. Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB. Okay. I think she waved. I looked down. Yeah, thank you, Ms. Sanchez. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're ready to start our agenda now, and we will be starting with item number one, PR 2020-4604, SI 2020-1467, a site plan for Titan Development on Holly Avenue between Ventura and Desert Shadow Way. And I'd like to find the development team. Who will be presenting? Mr. Rogers? Okay. Mr. Josh Rogers, can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Josh Rogers with Titan Development, VP of Development.
Okay. Mr. Rogers, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Are you going to be introducing us to the application?
Yes, I will, and I think we should swear in Brian Patterson, Jim Schroeder, Michael Voss, Juan Astiasan, and Jesus Lopez.
Okay. I see Mr. Patterson over there. Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Brian Patterson, Titan Development.
Mr. Patterson, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
All right. Jim Schroeder, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, Madam Chair, Jim Strozier with Consensus Planning.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Mr. Voss, can you introduce yourself?
Madam Chair, yes, this is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning.
Mr. Voss, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
All right, and Mr. Juan A., can you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Juan Astiasaran from RV Architecture.
Okay, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And I think there was one more.
Yes, this is Jesus Lopez with Respect.
Yes, Mr. Lopez, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. And just a reminder to the development team, when you do want to speak about something, please just introduce yourself again, since our recording is audio only. Okay, we'll let whoever wants to lead out and tell us about your project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Josh Rogers with Titan Development. This is the Alasso Vineyards project. It is a 111-unit multifamily project located at the intersection of Ventura and Holly. To start off with this project, we began a series of informal meetings, specifically starting with the Desert Ridge Place Neighborhood Association, which is located directly surrounding the site. And we wanted to make sure that we reached out to these folks, since this development would be essentially right across from their backyards, and wanted them to know what we were doing. We wanted to work with them and make sure that our plans responded to any concerns that they might have. So we presented several different options once we understood the zoning code, and basically worked with them to develop the site plan. And eventually we were given high-level comments from the Neighborhood Association to push everything to as close to Holly and Ventura as we could. And that's what we did. In addition to that, they requested that the architecture be of a similar nature to their Neighborhood Association, which is a Pueblo Revival style of architecture with wood details buttressing, nice tan and earth tone colors. And so we believe we've responded appropriately to that. In addition, we met with the overall neighborhood association, Vineyard Estates, and I believe President Elizabeth Meeks is on the call today. And we had an informal meeting with their board to discuss the project before we made any submittals to the city. We gave them a basic timeline of what our plan was. We responded, to a lot of their concerns related to traffic, building height, the look and feel, and everything that would go on with this project. And then from there, we started our formal process with the city and had a facilitated meeting. And we had a very good conversation for about an hour and a half regarding the project, discussing everything related to the project. And from that meeting, we have responded to several emails from concerned neighborhood members, whether from Vineyard or Desert Ridge Place, asking questions about traffic or trash enclosures or things like that. And just recently, within the last 2 weeks, several members from the Desert Ridge Place Neighborhood Association requested that we move the trash enclosure from the far northwestern portion of the site away from their homes. And we have successfully done that, and we have moved them closer to the two buildings and have communicated that to the Desert Ridge Place members. And Jeanette Kim, who's the president of the board of the Desert Ridge Place, is on the call today to confirm that. But we have a signed site plan from Solid Waste that was signed late last week. We have not included that in this submittal and is not reflected on this site plan. So pending the deferral today, we will revise the submittal to include that the relocated trash enclosures that are closer to the building and away from the single family neighborhoods. In addition, we continue to get questions about traffic, and we are voluntarily doing a traffic study as our project does not qualify as a mandated traffic study, but we are working with transit and the DOT to submit that traffic study and work through those issues. We will be extending a southbound second lane from just north of our site down past Holly that hopefully will improve the traffic situation at a minimum. And I think with that, I will leave it for questions or comments from neighborhoods, or we can move into the comments from planning staff. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rogers. An impressive set of work, working with all the neighborhoods. That is very, very much appreciated, and we'll talk about that. One question from me is, can you identify on the site plan layout where the trash enclosures have moved to?
Sure, I have the signed site plan up on my computer if I could present my screen.
Sure.
Okay, you should be good to go.
Okay. Okay, so this is the signed site plan from Herman Gallegos at the city. So you can see his signature down here. But if we zoom into the site plan, the original location was up in this corner right here. We have moved the recycling containers to right here. And we have moved the trash to these two areas right here, just off the building.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rogers. Is there anyone else from the development team that wishes to speak?
I think at this time, Madam Chair, this is Josh Rogers, we will stand for comments.
Okay. Let me first go back to the public and see if there's any member of the public that wishes to comment on this case. Now would be the time. So for example, Ms. Klein, if you had anything to say, now would be the time for you to do that. Let's see. Can we unmute Ms. Keim? I'm trying to, but not succeeding. Okay, Ms. Keim, you're unmuted.
I don't have any comments at this time. I think the plan that has been proposed is...
Ms. Keim, I can't let you speak unless I swear you in. Let me go ahead and do that. And then also, if you present yourself at this point, if you have questions later on after the comments, you would have a right to do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't. So let's go ahead and get you sworn in. Introduce yourself and give us your address.
Jeanette Keim, 8832 Desert Finch Lane, Northeast.
Okay, and are you with the Desert Ridge Place?
I am.
Okay, can you just identify the name of that organization?
It's the Desert Ridge Place HOA.
Thank you. Ms. Keim, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, please go ahead with your comment.
The new site plan with the change in garbage and recycling disposal is acceptable to the neighborhood, and I think it will be a good addition.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Keim, and we appreciate your work with the applicant team on this project. Is there anyone else here to speak on this case? I don't think we do have anyone. Okay, let's go to board comments, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, everybody, development team. This is Chris Jenner with the Water Authority. There was an availability statement 201116, which has been issued and provides the conditions for service. They did have some comments regarding the utility plan. So one of them is minor in nature. There's a proposed fire department connection, which appears to connect to the proposed fire line. I know they're typically connected to the building just to charge the system. And just so you know, the cross-connect per Water Authority's cross-connection ordinance, this development is considered a non-residential water customer, and the fact that it's a multifamily dwelling of three or more stories. So just be aware that all new, what we call non-residential premises with this definition shall have a backflow preventer. Please show that on the plans. You can coordinate with our cross-connection manager, James Baca. Regarding the on-site water line loop, and maybe this is a question more for Jesus, the plan shows a proposed on-site loop. I don't recall if it was public or private. As we know, the DPM doesn't really allow for that. Maybe to save the client money that may not be in need, as you can obtain your fire lines either from the east or from the south. So I just wanted to get some understanding as to what the intent was with that looped proposed line. The idea would be to provide separate fire lines for the fire hydrant and fire suppression systems. And last but not least, there's pro rata owed and shall be paid prior to approval. And I've included that in the comments as well. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Yes, this is Jesus with Respec. Just in regards to that fire line loop, we understand the requirement. We'll be removing one of those connections. So I think we'll be good there.
This is Chris Cadena with Water Authority. I don't know if people were written in response, but I'm done on my end, but thank you for your response, Jesus.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement.
Good morning, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. The only thing I noted in my review that there needs to be compliance with Section 511D3. The section states that windows in new multifamily residential development, windows shall be recessed not less than 2 inches and or shall be surrounded by a window casing not less than 2 inches wide. So that's the only thing I noted that needs to be complied with. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's just check and see if the windows are following that requirement.
Madam Chair, this is Josh Rogers. I think Michael Voss had a comment on this comment.
Yeah, this is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning, and I guess it's kind of a question to staff as well as a comment. We don't believe that section applies to this project due to the MXL zoning. Section 511D is for multifamily residential development within residential zone districts, and because this is a mixed-use zone district, we don't think that would apply. So I guess clarification on that is needed. Before we kind of figure out any changes, if any, are needed to the windows.
Madam Chair, if I may, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Thank you, Mr. Voss, for your comments. And yeah, definitely great to discuss this. Right on Section 511D, all multifamily residential development, not including parking structures, in any residential zone district and containing more than 25 dwelling units shall comply with all the standards. So 511D3 falls under that, and that was the reasoning for my determination.
This is Chair Wolfley. Mr. Garcia, I think what Mr. Voss is pointing out is that language says in any residential zone district, and they are in a mixed-use, low-density district. Can someone just check the MXL and make sure there isn't a requirement in that district with regard to the recessed windows? This is a new requirement.
Okay, this is Jay Rodenbeck. Here's the section that applies to mixed use zone districts. It's 511E, not 511D.
Okay, see if 511E has anything regarding windows. And you probably, if you reviewed this, you probably looked at that. Can you scroll down a bit more, Mr. Rodenbeck? There's usually a section on windows if it exists.
I mean, there's a number of different requirements regarding windows.
Right, but there's not a special section on windows. Okay. All right. I'll let Mr. Garcia just kind of look while we're still discussing, but I think Mr. Voss's point is correct. Anything else?
Chair,
okay, let's go to Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. PRD has no issues with this in your section.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology?
I gotta get to my hydrology thing. Hold on. There he goes. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading plan with preliminary approved stamp date of 1/11/21. We really have no objection. I still was trying to find an infrastructure list and I didn't see one. I don't know if it's with this application or if it's going to be with a plat. The sidewalk culverts need to be included on that infrastructure list. And that's all hydrology
okay.
has.
Ms. Brissett, did you see the AMALFCA comments that came in? It just looked like they wanted to approve this as well.
I did not review their comments on this particular application.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and take a look for that? If you look at the, Mr. Rodenbeck, he didn't necessarily receive the email that has all the comments, right? If you could forward him the comment email for this case, and he can look at the AMALFCA comments and just see if there's any guidance she has to give. All right, any questions for Ms. Brissett? Okay, I don't hear Mr. Lopez. So let's go ahead and go to transportation.
Yes, good morning. This is Jean Wolfenbarger with transportation. We did just receive a traffic impact study yesterday. We'll need some time to review it. I just wanted to note that the recommendations and the traffic study regarding infrastructure shall be put onto an infrastructure list. A work order shall be required for the proposed improvements on the infrastructure list. Along with any recommendations from the traffic impact study. The NMDOT will also have to review the study and the infrastructure list for their needs. DOT did send out some comments asking for RFBs and extension of a right turn lane onto Paseo, if you will note that. I also, since we're having ongoing discussions about roundabouts, I wanted to see an exhibit showing the roundabout to make sure that the site plan configuration doesn't conflict with the roundabout layout. The plat will need to be approved prior to the site plan. Show drive entrances opposite of site along Holly to demonstrate lack of traffic circulation conflict. And the rest of my comments are actually fairly minor. I just wanted to make sure the site distance triangles for the drive entrances are shown for both. The site plan and the landscaping plan according to AASHTO standards and the speed limits on each of the roads, and provide the standard note showing limits on landscaping height within the clear site triangles. Also include all dimensioning, including the typical width and length of the parking spaces in all sections of the site plan. Label curb and curb radii, a minimum 6-inch to 8-inch curb height is required to separate parking from landscaping, islands, and sidewalk. Provide do not enter signage, one-way signage, and pavement arrows for any one-way driving aisles. Call out all sidewalk widths on site. I just had some minor questions that I needed clarified on key notes. It looked like key note 1024 was missing from the list of key notes. I wanted to make sure both gates were identified in the details. And then that's all I had.
Hey, Gene, this is Brian Patterson at Titan. Regarding your comments, thank you. We did, as you mentioned, get the traffic study in earlier this week. As Josh mentioned in the very beginning, a traffic study was not required, but working with the neighbors, we thought it was best to move forward with that. One thing you will note during your review, the level service at all the intersections that we looked at did not change. And therefore the traffic study very clearly identifies that no improvements are required. We will be extending, as Josh mentioned, that southbound on Ventura. And regarding the comment about the roundabout, we will provide that exhibit. I thought we already did. I know DMD had a copy. You know, I know the city's looking at this roundabout for a potential future improvements in that area. And we will confirm that if the city decides to move forward with the roundabout in the future, that there's enough right away on our property for that to fit. So we'll work with you guys over these next couple of weeks to address any comments regarding the traffic study and right away and all that stuff.
Thank you. This is Gene Wolfenbarger. Yes, I've seen exhibits of the roundabout. I just wanted to make sure the latest one was included within the submittals, but I know we'll be having further discussions anyhow. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to planning for comment.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Before I start on my comments, Renee, I just want to let you know I did send you the comments.
Yes, and Madam Chair, this is Renee Prisette from Hydrology. Yeah, I just reviewed their comments, and they just wanted to make a note that this project does fall under the North Albuquerque Acres Management Plan, and I've already reviewed it. This site has a allowable discharge rate of 3.83 cubic feet per acre, and they do fall well within that rate.
Thank you, Ms. Prisette, for that clarification. Mr. Rodenbeck, go ahead.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Just want to note that a preliminary final plat consolidating the lots on the site will need to be approved by the DRB prior to the approval of this site plan by the DRB. Did go through sketch plat November the 4th, so we do have preliminary comments on that. I have a comment about the solid waste signature. Obviously, they're going to go on that. Just want to note, there's an existing wall in the northern and western property boundaries of the site. For the neighborhood edge requirements, it must be at least 6 feet in height, and we just need to verify that existing wall is at least 6 feet in height and noted on the site plan.
Mr. Rodenbeck?
Yes, ma'am.
While we're on the wall, just so the applicant team knows, we also need to talk about a maintenance of that wall. Go ahead.
Do you want me to talk, Madam Chair, do you want me to talk about the maintenance of the wall?
No, go ahead with your comments.
Many comments, okay. This is Jay Rodenbach. We noted that there are no motorcycle parking spaces depicted on the site plan. I believe the minimum of 4 are required, as you showed, depicted a requirement of 150 parking spaces in general required. And if that's the case, then you would need at least 4 motorcycle parking spaces on the site. And we just want you to confirm that the facade design requirements of 511E2A of the IDO are being met. That's been done through comment response letters with other applicants. It can be done on the site plan or both, but we just need to we want to have confirmation that's done. And but what I'm referring to is I had the IDO pulled up, so I just this portion of it. Right here, this does apply to multifamily and mixed use zone districts. And going back to Carl's comment regarding the window recess, if you're in an urban center, activity center, Main Street, and premium transit area, you do need to meet that requirement that Carl mentioned. I don't believe that this site is in one. If I'm wrong, then you need to meet that requirement. But that's what I believe Carl was referring to. And if I'm wrong, Carl could jump in right now. But that's all I have as far as comments from planning.
Okay, thank you. Applicant team?
Madam Chair, this is Josh Rogers. Thank you, Mr. Rodenbach. So let's see, the plat we're working on, we might be able to submit it next week, but we'll definitely, I think we're going to take a 2-week deferral today, and then hopefully we can get the plat in so it can be reviewed simultaneously. So we got that coming. As it relates to the 6 feet in height, I believe those walls are 6 feet. I have a question about, you know, does every single inch of it need to be, because it does step with the topography, does every single inch need to be 6 feet high? I guess, how do we measure that would be my question.
Let's go to Mr. Garcia.
As Carl Garcia with code enforcement, as far as the measurement, which measurement are you speaking of?
Madam Chair, this is Josh Rogers. Mr. Garcia, the wall that's in it, that exists today for the Desert Ridge Place Neighborhood Association, it bounds the north and western sides of the property. I believe it is 6 feet currently, but there's a lot of topography out there. Obviously, we are making some grading changes as well, and so I guess my question is do we take an average grade of the wall height across the entire thing, or are we measuring every single inch of the wall to make sure it meets 6 feet?
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I need to read the definition of grade in the IDO, and I can get back to you once I review that.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, Josh Rogers again. I think Mr. Voss has a comment on the motorcycle parking. I'll let him respond to that, and then before I stop talking, the facade design requirements, we were talking about this last night. We believe we are within those design guidelines, but we will confirm with our deferral and present either a letter or an elevation study or something to call out those facade design requirements.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Go ahead.
This is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning. Regarding the motorcycle comment, I guess this is another point of clarification. It's our read of the motorcycle standards is that only applies for non-residential development. Basically says all uses except residential have to provide motorcycle parking. Is that correct?
This is Jay Rodenbach. I got the language pulled up here. This is Jay Rodenbach. I'm not seeing that it wouldn't apply to, well, here it is right here. See.
Yeah.
At least, yeah, you're correct, Mike. Yep. You can, we'll take that comment off.
This is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning. I don't think I have any other comments. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Chair Wolfley, I could see maybe a motorcycle sliding into that trash enclosure space. All right, Mr. Garcia.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. According to the definition of grade in the IDO, it talks about the average grade, the average of ground levels immediately adjacent to each facade of a building considered separately. So for this matter, and for the fence, you can consider the average along the entire fence and measure from that.
Okay, thank you.
I think, and I might need our city engineer to help us with this, but the other concern is just that since you are relying on the existing subdivision wall for your wall requirement, what is the intention with regard to maintaining that wall? Whose responsibility will it be?
Madam Chair, this is Josh Rogers. I believe that the wall exists entirely on the single family home's property. I could be wrong, but I don't think it straddles the property line. So therefore, I don't know why we would have any obligation to it.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I got the site plan pulled up with the existing block wall. It looks like it does straddle the property line, but unless I'm looking at the wrong, no, this would be, I believe this is the block wall, and this looks like it's also the property boundary. It looks like it does straddle, but I mean, that may not be the case in reality.
This is Juan Astiazaran with the RV Architecture. Mostly, the wall is on the single family property. There is probably in the northwest corner a little piece of the wall that encroaches a little bit into our property. But I'm gonna say that for the most part, like 90% of the wall is on the single family property.
Mr. Biazar, go ahead.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. Regarding the wall height, that's a code enforcement call, but we usually measure the wall from finished grade to top of the wall as far as the height is concerned. But if code enforcement allows an average height, it's a code enforcement call. Then also I had some comments about the or question about the trash enclosure. Are those going to be a rollout trash enclosure?
Shahab, this is Josh Rogers. Yes, they are the rollout dumpsters on casters.
Okay, because I didn't see enough spacing for the trucks to basically pull in there and pull them out. Okay, so it is a rollout. Then also regarding the retaining walls, since the retaining walls are going to be holding right away, we need to have those retaining walls on the infrastructure list as well.
And Mr. Biazar, this is Chair Wolfley. My question is there a typical some kind of maintenance agreement for a wall that would be built by the homeowners but be kind of a required wall for this project as well, so that maybe the apartments make sure they're maintaining their side of the wall and the homeowners maintain their side of the wall? Do you have any guidance on that?
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. I don't recall ever seeing a maintenance agreement. It's either maintained by the owners who built it typically, but usually if the wall is right on the property line, that is centered on the property line, basically becomes a maintenance responsibility of the both owners typically. Like I said, this wall was built by the subdivision previously, and typically they hold the maintenance of that wall. If Titan was to damage it, obviously they will, during construction, they will repair it, or if they are damaged, or just because of landscaping, stuff like that, I guess they'll be, you know, be responsible for fixing anything that, that damages the walls.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me just ask this question, maybe first of the applicant team. PNM, in their comments, they made some remark about maintaining safety along the electrical lines on Ventura. Would someone from the applicant team discuss that?
This is Brian Patterson with Titan Development. So our plan with meeting, discuss this with PNM, is to relocate these overhead lines along our frontage and place them underground.
We're losing your voice just a bit, Mr. Patterson. Repeat your last sentence.
Sorry about that. We will be relocating these overhead lines along our frontage of Ventura and placing them underground. On the northeast corner, we will go down. We will take those lines underneath Holly and then riser back up on the south side of Holly.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. All right. Any questions from the applicant team?
Madam Chair, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I wanted to follow up on my comment with the average grade. And I've got to qualify that. I mean, if we have a deviation process where it allows, that allows 6 inches on a wall, but if, let's say we have a wall that's above that, or, you know, sections of the wall that are 7 feet or 8 feet, then yeah, those sections of the wall are going to be considered individually. So it's without seeing the wall, I just can't give that blanket statement of the average grade, because after hearing that, you know, the rest of the comments, there may be wall, portions of the wall that are way taller than what's allowed. So that would have to be looked at individually. So I just want to make that real clear, that because in other words, we wouldn't just be able to give an approval for a wall that's let's say 8 feet tall and take an average of that. I need to be real clear on that specific. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. All right, and then I think kind of going back to your other comments, we'll just cross back on the recessed windows. I do not think this is in the Activity Center, Main Street, or Premium Transit. Well, it's definitely not Main Street, but probably we just will double check that to make sure.
Chair Rodenbeck, I checked in Aegis and I didn't see that, but we could check
okay.
Closer too.
Correct. Okay, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Yeah, I believe that I will just have to withdraw that comment.
After
checking the La Cueva area, it's not in Activity Center. Or an urban center.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think we're done with DRB comments. Let me go back to Ms. Keim. Did you have any question for any of the speakers this morning?
I don't at this time. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we're looking at a deferral. And Mr. Rogers?
Madam Chair, I believe a 2-week deferral for us to address the comments, get the plat in, and then hopefully in 2 weeks we can get this all buttoned up.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item number 1 to January 27th?
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I'll make a motion as stated.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks Rec, I second.
Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
98% Hydrology, I approve.
Gene Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 1, PR 2020-4604, SI 2020-1467 site plan to the January 27th meeting of the DRB. And we're assuming from your comments that the plat will be coming in time to join on that January 27th agenda, correct?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. And while we're talking about dates, I just wanna remind everyone that next week, DRB will be meeting. Monday is a holiday, but DRB will be meeting. The next that we would be off would be February 17th for President's Day, but we will be meeting all the way every Wednesday until then, just so people can think about that in their deferrals. Okay, thank you. A lot of good work being done there. We appreciate all the work with the neighborhood. And thank you, Ms.
Thank you, Madam Chair.